Oh, Chris Cody, he swaggers into work today. He's talking about heart and he's talking about guts.
He swaggered downstairs.
He did. He swaggered downstairs, but he was woofing and he was feeling proud and heart and guts and lower. Lower. You need to go lower.
What a time to be alive, Dan. What a time to be alive and be a South Florida sports fan, a Miami sports fan. Sorry, Billy, I don't want to offend you. I love what's happening right now. The Marlins, the Heat, just go. I'm naked again. I just want you to know that. We're not doing Naked Chris, but I'm just that excited.
You say lower, you mean thighs, of course, right?
I mean tremendo cojones. I mean Jimmy Butler winning the game with defensive plays. They're down 94-91. And you don't see a lot of that where in the last couple of minutes you get pivotal plays on the defensive end from the perimeter because a guy is just ball hawking out there. And the Celtics have to be demoralized twice. You've had these double-digit leads that make even Heat fans go, okay, we're pretty close to the next one here. Like you're down double digits, you're expecting to lose that game.
I don't know if Heat fans, well, it's a great point. Are they expecting at this point or are they expecting this particular team to come back the way they did and the way they've done so many times during this postseason? But it's remarkable what they've done. You're right. The Celtics have to be frustrated and they are frustrated. It was just a great game. The Heat are playing great basketball.
To the degree that a sports fan is ever going to feel like their team is out of it, there are certain times in a series, if you expect it to be a long series, you would have expected that double-digit lead to keep for the Boston Celtics. You wouldn't have expected the Miami Heat to continue to come back there, even though I understand that in that league that double-digit leads don't mean much. But you saw the way that that game was trending.
In the playoffs, that's hard to do. I think that's the Heat's biggest postseason comeback since the 2012 finals. Guys, I had a night last night. And after that Heat game, you would think I would put the sound on of the Browns game, main TV. No, what I did was I went to my iPhone and I pulled up a Boston radio station, the Sports Hub, and I listened to a sports radio host take calls.
Really?
Really?
Oh.
Post-game
Celtics? Oh, wait, I want to hear more about this.
Post-game Celtics calls?
Hold on, wow. I want to hear about this. I want to hear.
The Flegler and Mazin.
Hold on a second.
Hub delivered. Everyone complaining about how Jason Tatum is all elbows driving into the lane. How are we losing to a JV defense? Everyone's got to go. Brad Stevens is getting outcoached. How does this happen? We don't have a player as good as Jimmy Butler. If you guys really want to embrace Heat culture and embrace this rivalry, because this is still, I think, going to be a long series. Miami Heat were up 2-0 on the Boston Celtics the last time they played in the playoffs. And then we lost 3 straight to Boston and the LeBron game happened. These teams are pretty evenly matched, but boy, is it fun to hear Boston fans complain.
The zone out of nowhere, extended zone, where the Boston Celtics are going 0-for-11 from 3, an enormous drought.
I thought we were going to do this against Boston because we had during the regular
season. It was your bold prediction.
It was one of them. Yeah, I said, well, we'll see Bam on Tatum. And we have, but not as much as I probably thought. And I thought we'd see a lot of zone because Toronto had a lot of success against Boston, got themselves back into that series with that zone. We played well against Boston when we flashed it, but to not go zone, I thought we were actually building our zone to face Giannis and the Bucks and force Milwaukee to shoot themselves out of it. We actually didn't play in the first 2 rounds. We'd played it quite well this season, and we've been saving it for Boston. I think, look, we have the results in hand, and we haven't had a postseason run, specifically an underdog run, but let's just talk about wins and losses. Miami Heat have never had a run like this. This is dominant stuff, and you're always going to go to coaching when you can't really explain it, and Spoelstra is just, he's been unbelievable this postseason.
Did anybody else feel like the game when it was down, when the Heat were down maybe 17-19, that we were wasting away the Duncan Robinson game, the game that he finally showed up to? It was like, oh my God, he hit all these threes and now it's not going to matter because they're down 20 and the Heat are just going to lose. I had that feeling almost into the third quarter.
The part of what was happening last night that I found interesting because...
I love wasting the Duncan Robinson game. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's a 7-game series. People are going to have games. We were almost experiencing the Enes Kanter game.
You did experience the Enes Kanter game. You just withstood the Enes Kanter game.
And then everyone started dunking at the rim, alley-oop style. Well,
this is what I was going to say. Yes, exactly right. What I was going to say is I will not give all of the credit to Spoelstra because, specifically as it relates to this team, and certainly that zone defense, indisputably something that bothered the Celtics and ended much of the Kemba stuff that was happening because they went to zone defense. What I think is interesting about that team, and it is something that's usually a weakness in a star league, is that you don't know what you're going to get from where. But that's what you saw change in that game. They were so busy guarding Duncan Robinson that in the third quarter, you suddenly saw, wait a minute, Bam is getting everything he wants at the rim. It's Bam again and again. He has 4 points in the first half, and then in the third quarter, it's just alley-oops and dunks, alley-oops and dunks. And then they're like, okay, we got to take that away, and then you go right back to the threes are open.
Right. They take Bam away. It felt like he had 10 straight layups. That's what it felt like. But you take Bam away, then go back to Dragic, Duncan Robinson, and then you had Olynyk hit that monster three. Well,
this is what was happening, though, throughout the game is basically you hear the announcers talk about Jimmy's on the bench. Jimmy's 2 for 7. Jimmy's not taking a lot of shots, and it's how they play all season. Jimmy's a smart, efficient player, and he knows that whatever is there that is being given is what the Heat's going to take, whether it's Duncan Robinson shooting from wherever he gets the ball or whether it's Bam Adebayo at the rim.
How about that veteran experience not catching that ball from Tyler Hero, making it go out of bounds? How about the veteran experience of Andre Iguodala playing 7 minutes?
How about the save by Jimmy Butler, Mike, before it went out of bounds?
And that was great.
And then finishes it with the layup.
That was unbelievable. Yeah,
yeah. Best give and go in NBA history.
Dude, Derrick Jones Jr. almost had one of the greatest plays I've ever seen.
If that alley-oop on that play, that would have felt like toying with the Celtics if he had somehow finished that alley-oop.
That would have been one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
It's the second best missed dunk in NBA history behind Ja Morant. France earlier this year.
Behind Bam Adebayo's attempt over Giannis Antetokounmpo, too. Man, this stuff, just really enjoy it. This stuff doesn't happen, especially in the NBA. You don't see a 5 seed go on this run. I think the Houston Rockets did it once, and they still had Olajuwon. Like, this is crazy. This is nuts.
And Jordan was retired.
Reminding you, the Knicks did it once as an 8 seed.
No, but he's talking about winning 10 of 11.
Okay.
Yeah, but that, well, everyone knew.
They did put up the stat last night that the Heat have started 10-1 before in the playoffs, and it was an 0-5, and we ended up losing in the conference finals. So that made me, like, that brought me in a little, reined me in a little last night. I was like, all right, we could still lose. Before I saw that stat, I was like, you mean, bring on LA, maybe Heat in 5 over Lakers.
It was weird to see Tatum only get 12 shots. That seems weird to me. That guy who's good gets 12 shots.
Well, we will see, right? Because this is how these measurements get done, right, Stugatz? Because one of the things that you will always be told when you have a good coach is that over the course of a 7-game series, with every day to prepare for a single thing, they've been preparing for what Giannis does, okay?
Right.
When you get to prepare for a single thing, it is incumbent upon the superstar to be able to rise above whatever the opposing coach is doing with that kind of preparation. Not flying from city to city, not changing opponents every game. It's a best-of-7 series with Spo preparing specifically, Stugatz, specifically for Jason Tatum can't beat us. And then, when you're 22 years old and making the growth leap that is expected from superstars, you beat them. You overcome that because there is no actual stopping of you and holding you to 12 shots in the games that matter. But to go from blocked at the rim,
right,
in game one, in a way that echoes for 2 days, to 12 shots, to how many free throws did he have
last
night?
He was 9 of 11. I mean, he still had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, but he should have more than 12 shots. And you're right about what you just said. You're 100% right.
Yeah, he's still getting to the line. And oddly enough, the Celtics, I saw it reported by Gary Washburn, they're not practicing today with only 1 day. However, they are catching a bit of a break because the NBA apparently just realized that Monday Night Football is played on Monday nights. And what was supposed to be game 5 on Wednesday is now game 4 Very curious why they did that. Are they afraid of Clay Travis tweets? What the hell is this about?
The league doesn't want the Heat to do well. It's very obvious. They don't want the Heat to do well. And they want to give the Lakers a break because they don't want the Heat to sweep this series in four and then have a week and a half off because it took forever for the Western Conference Finals to start. And they don't want the Heat to get rest. Let's just say what it is, all right? We're all thinking it. We all know what's going on. The league does not want the Heat to win the championship this year. And guess what? They're out of luck. They're trying to cheat to have the Heat lose the East and have the Celtics regroup because they're going to be down 3-0. And then they don't want them to sweep and then have a week and a half to prepare for the Lakers. That's what it is. Dan, just say it already. Preach. Say it. I know you're afraid to say it. Just say it already. The league is cheating so that the Heat don't win.
I'm willing to say it. The league is cheating. I believe they don't want the Heat to win. It won't feel legitimate if the Heat do win. They want the Lakers and LeBron to win. Dan, are you ready to say it? Are you ready to say it?
I am not ready to say it.
Okay. Because we're all saying
it. I'm not ready to say that a team that is 10-1 in the playoffs is being jobbed by the league.
I mean,
that's why they're being jobbed by the league. Wake up.
Yeah.
Open your eyes. I did think that, okay, now Gordon Hayward's going to get healthy, and this actually helps against the zone because Gordon Hayward can do some stuff. Oddly enough, like, Kemba is a guy that should help them out of the zone. They were playing zone in the first half, and he was going off, and he was just falling back down to earth. I think Gordon Hayward can help. However, one of the things that I wasn't aware of, everyone remembers that viral video of Gordon Hayward being very sad that he was having a daughter again. Gordon Hayward, his wife is slated to give birth to his first son, and he has said in the past that he would leave the bubble for that childbirth. I've been researching this. Brad Stevens still is honest with the media, says he has no idea if Gordon Hayward is going to leave the bubble or not for the
birth
of
the bubble.
His son.
Don't worry about that. He'll be there for the birth of the
You've
baby.
Actually looked into this?
Yeah, because I think Gordon Hayward, there's talk that he might come back for game three, and I think he can actually help given what they're running into defensively. But if he has to, if he can't be there for game four because it's been pushed back because of the birth of his child, I mean, what are we doing this for?
I feel like the league only wants the Lakers in the finals. What do you guys think about that?
All right, you guys are going to keep doing this.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's check back in with Mike Ryan and what he did after the game last night, because this is funny and I don't think we could talk about it enough. I want you to imagine what's happening here, okay? There's a whole history here that's funny. It's not just the history between the two teams, okay? We have had our issues with Boston's radio sports host, Boston's fans. We have talked since we started this show. We have asked the question, could this show ever work in some place like Boston where they can spend an entire summer talking about a bunt in one of the Red Sox games?
Right.
Not at all. The way that I've been digesting sports radio, I forgot how long I hadn't actually listened to traditional sports talk radio. Occasionally on my drive, I'd listen to 790 or QAM, but there's a sort of South Florida template that you guys sort of introduce, and there aren't many calls. I haven't heard wire-to-wire phone calls on sports talk radio. Knee-jerk reaction.
But no, I want to hear more. I want to hear how this came to be, how the decision got made.
Alive,
because it is a good decision to make. Just like the Heat sports fan or any local sports fan, if your team wins a big game, you're all of a sudden watching the 11 o'clock sports center, the 12 o'clock sports center. You're watching the morning sports centers. You are reliving that. But when you lose those games, you tend to just turn the television off and go to sleep in some sort of seething anger.
You pick up a phone in Boston, you call Dennis and Callahan, you fire a coach.
That's what happens.
Oh, I drew the line. I wasn't going EEI. I went the sports hub here. And I wish I could take credit for the ideas, but I was in a group chat and everyone's excited in Miami. All my friends are constantly sharing hilarious memes and someone threw in the chat, they're taking live calls on the sports hub. So I clicked.
There was
right
an alert.
Away.
Okay, so you went and found it.
Shout out to Mochetta for giving me that link.
Hey, Mochetta.
And so you go and you hunt down to you remember the name of the hosts? How long did you do this? I've got a lot of questions.
I remember
questions.
We went to a guy named JT who was really upset at Jason Tatum's elbows.
Okay, I want to ask a lot of follow-up questions, okay? Only honest answers, please. How long did you do this for?
I did it until the first commercial break, so I heard three callers.
I mean, you remember local radio and how great it was where a guy, JT, just calls up and he blames everything on Tatum's elbow?
Well, go to JT and Southie.
I mean, it's great.
Brad Stevens, wicked overrated.
You guys need to know, okay, that we appreciate that this audience, much of it, has been trained as a caller. So when you're calling in, it's to supplement the show. It's to be funny. It is not to fire the coach. it is not to complain about Jason Tatum's elbows, but it's one of the objections. I've told Stu Gatz this before. One of the reasons that sports radio was appealing to me is because I'm like, wait a minute, these hosts are just sitting in a chair and farming out their content to guys who are driving around.
Yeah, but there is a time and place for it. Yep. And the time and place is post game. I love hearing it. Mike is smart. I love hearing all of it. It was so good. They are upset and they don't think Jason Tatum is as good as Jimmy Butler based on the three calls that I heard. And it's just like, guys, you have a good team. It could still be a long series and they are just so pissed.
But it's post-game losses. That is that is sports radio at its absolute best. At its roots is after a big loss in your local market, a town like Boston, and people calling in and just slamming everyone and swinging in all different directions.
What is this, high school? How are we losing to a zone?
I want to, again, I've got a bunch of follow-up questions. You need to add, with everything happening into this in this country, you need to add the layer to this that Boston, as a city, does not like the existence of Miami as a city.
Oh, they hate us.
Even when we threw out that lineup with four white guys and Andre Iguodala?
They are not a city.
Who else was begging for Myers Leonard to come on the court?
That embraces what it is. By the way,
what does Boston do with that?
Tyler Hero really threw that ball away. You want experience in those moments. Tyler Hero really threw the ball away.
Wait, to Jimmy Butler? It
was kind of right in Jimmy Butler's hands.
Jimmy's got to catch that. I'm with you, Chris. That was in his hands. Yep. Like Jimmy just missed it.
Butterfingers.
It was a panicked pass. Like you could tell there was a moment of Tyler Hero being panicked, but the ball still ended up getting right into Jimmy's hands.
Putting my foot down. No blame for Tyler because he had an open J. And what did he do? He pulled it back and he's like, let's milk the clock, which is what you saw in that Jason Tatum shot that was such a bad shot. Milking the clock there is more valuable in certain instances. And he wanted to give it to their guy you could trust. And butterfingers.
You know Tyler Hero could do nothing wrong with this show.
I felt the same panic. I felt the same panic that Chris felt. Bam Adebayo is going to join us later in the show today. But Chris, I felt the same thing there with Tyler Hero. You're probably right that Jimmy's got to catch that. But it didn't seem like Tyler wanted to be holding it very much in that situation. It's like, here.
He didn't have to give it up there. He just like he was like there wasn't he was he could have just stopped and not dribbled or moved, but he like was just like, I got to get rid of it.
I think you got to give it to Jimmy in that spot. I think Tyler fears that you have to give it to Jimmy in that spot.
Mike, was it the Adam Jones show you were listening to last night? Do you remember the
host? I don't remember.
Right?
I jumped in while the host was talking and he didn't reset who he was, but I did enjoy a nice little reset. Yep, if you're just tuning in, Celtics lose game two. Now odds stacked against them. It was so great, man. Yeah. More of that. Let's change sports radio. Can we do a traditional sports talk radio show for once? Maybe next week, just on a Wednesday. We're going to take your calls.
It's so great when you don't need to reset because the calls are just flying in. The second one hangs up, the phone line is ringing. You don't need to say your name, what station. You don't need to identify yourself. Just sit back. You're on Easy Street. You're taking post-game calls.
This Price guy is unbelievable. He just fouls every time he's out there.
I love that Stu Gatz, the most excited that you could get him about a sporting event is the idea that a radio host could just sit there and be lazy and allow just rage and anger to pour through the phone lines. And he doesn't listen to how he's describing this. He's not even describing it as a listening experience. He's absolutely doing this as the host. Oh, I love when the local team lost. I could just sit there and scratch my nuts and play a call after call of furious Boston and
it's why I got into the business. I'm like, I just go to Ted in Weymouth, Massachusetts, and he speaks for 5 minutes. I got a break.
One of the things that I really appreciated out of it was callers asking the host for his expertise. What are you hearing about Gordon's ankle, huh? Like his sports talk always is like in the locker room. He's reading tweets just like
he's in a janitor's closet in his house, trying not to wake up his wife, talking into his Zoom.
What's going on with Hayward's ankle, huh? What are you hearing?
And it's just
my sources tell me exactly what I'm reading on Twitter.
It's just a Hail Mary, too. Like, who's coming to save us? Where and can he be a white savior on an actual white horse? course. Can it be Gordon Hayward and his jump shots that come and rescue us if he's not having a baby?
There's so many great storylines between Boston and Miami, and that one hasn't even been explored yet because I'm just dying to throw up the photo, not even the Photoshop, the actual banner that Miami had outside of the AAA whilst courting Gordon Hayward. Him Photoshopped into a full Heat uniform, him trying to decide. Remember our 4th of July, how it was hijacked by Gordon Hayward, how there was a leak in a Players Tribune, or is it Chris Haynes? I want Gordon Hayward to be on the court when Miami refused to touch that Eastern Conference trophy.
And then he got injured and has been a disappointment in the first 5 minutes of his Celtics career, correct? Yeah, it was the first 5 minutes. Yep. He breaks his leg in a gruesome fashion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they had him at the height of his powers, it would probably feel a little bit differently. But we haven't seen Gordon Hayward at the height of his powers.
Since that night.
Since he snapped his leg.
I haven't really seen him healthy enough to see if he's capable of being the player that he was. I actually think he was actually playing the best basketball I'd seen post-injury leading up to this latest injury. He was playing really well inside of that bubble.
It's going to be hard for Gordon Hayward to parachute out of the sky after not playing for this long and keep up the pace and just the stamina when you haven't been able to test that ankle of where this series is ratcheted up to. Because what you saw over stretches of that game was the Boston desperation too that was smothering Miami in a way where you see everything get elevated because Boston realizes that they're down 1-0, and then all of a sudden you're looking at the Miami offense for a good 5 minutes and you're not getting anything but long distance shots. You're getting three threes on one possession where you keep getting the offensive rebound because you're being super aggressive about chasing the ball too, because they were running all over the place trying to get loose balls, throwing themselves on the floor, and you're missing three threes. Boston's defense, which is very good, got ratcheted up to a place, but Miami withstood not only that, but the Enes Kanter game.
And I know that I've been calling it the Jay Crowder trade. It's pretty obvious after Andre Iguodala plays just 7 minutes in that game, and he's still working his way back to full health. Jay Crowder isn't talked about the way that Duncan Robinson is. Jay Crowder has been an unbelievable shooter inside of this bubble. He is so automatic. That and one that he had on the three is such a huge play. I don't know why he's not talked about as this sniper, but he should be.
Well, I don't think you could say automatic on a night. I think he was 4-for-12.
He was 4-for-12, 3-for-10 from three. But he's been very, very good, though. Yes.
But those are below average numbers.
I mean, about time he came back down to earth, though. He's been hitting wide open threes at a 60% clip, which is just unreal.
Well, what you've seen in that series that has, or in the playoffs really, is that if Jay Crowder gets a touch without anyone around him, he is not going to be an erratic shooter, and he will make occasional shots with a hand in his face, but not that many.
Well, I keep wanting to say someone's going to fall back down to earth, because Goran Dragic is also a three-point shooter that you all of a sudden trust, and he's hitting crazy shots. And I think inside the bubble, with that backdrop and those sight lines, maybe you can't necessarily say he's going to fall back down to earth. Maybe this is who they are inside the bubble as the sample continues to grow.
Crazy. Excuse me. Wow. Jesus. Crazy step backs from Goran. Like crazy step back shots towards the end of the game. He's been great the entire postseason. To Mike's point, just to support you a little bit on Jay Crowder, he did last series against the Bucks shoot 43% from three.
It's been the whole playoffs. Yes. He's been, you trust him. Look, I've always thought of that dude as an erratic three-point shooter. And since he's gotten here and since he replaced Myers Leonard in the starting lineup, he's made everything. Like, he makes a ton of shots in a way that is better than I thought he actually was. Like, I have never trusted Jay Crowder shooting threes. But again, we lose our way because I have not been able to ask any of the follow-up questions of, I want to know how it is that Mike Ryan soaked in Boston misery by seeking out a Boston radio station. I have a lot of questions. I want to know what you're wearing at the time that you decide, I am going to go. Do you do this on your phone? Do you do it on your home computer?
I'm listening on my iPhone. I have a glass of wine with me. I just changed out of the NBA Finals in Stadium Arena giveaway shirt from the 2012 Finals that had all the players' faces on it into my more baggy Cleveland Browns t-shirt because it's my fat shirt and we're in a pandemic and the intestines are a little slothy. Now, I sit back on what is a maternity feeding chair because I still have no couches and my back is an absolute mess, and I listen with a smile ear to ear.
Hold on, if I may. Is the are the Browns playing at this moment? Are they on a television?
Yeah, Browns have been switched from the top right TV to the main big screen TV.
Oh, but wow, main
the volume,
stage.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
But the volume is down as I'm dedicating myself to Boston Sports Hub.
All right, so you're sitting. Is the chair comfortable? Is it a,
not at all, man. Okay. My back's an absolute mess.
Okay, so there's no comfort in the chair, but you are sinking into the comfort of the Boston fan base, just wailing into a telephone, needing, like, I want the audience that's listening right now to imagine the person who at 10 p.m. in Boston has said, you know what I need to do? I need to vent about Jason Tatum's elbows to my nearest sports host.
Stop going in there with your elbows swinging wildly. What are you doing? They're going to call that against you every time, Tatum.
All right, so are all three calls screaming? Like, where is the volume?
The first one was defeated. The other guy was just, normally you would think, okay, where do they go first? Blame the refs. They're actually blaming Tatum. Which is, I don't know what's going on there. Maybe a Boston thing. Who knows? But they're blaming Tatum for going in uncontrollable into the paint. And look, the referees are just not going to give you that call, Jason. You got to stop swinging the elbows in there. So it was good. I'm actually watching sports. You remember what Steve Nash would do when he would check out of games? How he would watch from the bench? He wouldn't actually watch from the bench. He would just lay down on the floor with a towel under his neck. That's how I've been experiencing sports for the last 3 weeks or so with no couches. But this one was kick back, use another uncomfortable chair as an ottoman, and smile ear to ear as Boston sports fans cried about what's happened.
Did anyone fire Stevens?
No, just outcoached. We're not there yet.
We're just at the outcoached portion of the spectrum. We're not at
stage two, Dan.
Okay. All right. So what are the stages of this?
Keep in mind, I only listened to three calls because at that point, Baker had it cooking, was throwing some darts all over the field. And then I had to throw myself into what is the team that has owned Thursday Night Football for the better part of a decade, the Cleveland Browns experience.
I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, I believe that there can be content gotten from us, and I don't know who to do this to because Billy's already drowning in useless sound montage, and there's going to be a lot of sadness. But if the Boston Celtics, and when I say sadness, I don't mean sadness because the fans are hurt. I mean sadness in you turn on your radio and what you end up feeling is sadness because everyone's life is so pathetic. That's what I'm talking about. I think there is actually a...
I had friends on the line waiting to call in trying to say...
Well, I think we need to. I think we need to find... This is what I'd like to do if it's possible. If the Heat give us another post game where we plan, where we're rolling on one of these post games, A, looking for the funniest Boston calls, but B, trying to also infiltrate it with what are clearly Miami calls.
That is so mean, but at the same time, it's like, how do you get back at us? Because we don't take calls.
It's a great idea, though. We should do this.
So mean. You're so mean.
But you'll be waiting on, I'm telling you, in Boston after a loss, you could be on hold for 4.5 hours.
Harry the Horse told you yesterday that this is a brotherhood. Why would you do that to your fellow sports radio broadcaster?
I should follow whatever it is Harry the Horse is telling me. I should just seek his advice at every turn, but I have more follow-up questions.
I listened to three calls. All right, I'm with you. What else can I do?
I mean,
one
why?
Of the guys was from Southie because I was enjoying this Heat victory.
But
over
how did you decide
Celtics?
Which radio? How did you decide which radio station you were?
Well,
going
I knew it wasn't
going
to be WEEI, but I told you, Mochetta threw in the sports hub in the group chat. I was like, oh, what a tremendous idea. I was jealous that I didn't think of it, and I was just listening for a good 10-minute segment.
I guarantee you on WEEI, people were firing Brad Stevens. And yeah, they skipped stage two. Okay?
Yeah. Although I'm told the hub is now the leader, or they battle back and forth in the Boston market. But
I think at EEI, they might have just been trying to fire Doc Rivers still. Just get rid of him again.
Actually, on EEI, they were blasting Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Scott, you couldn't wait to eat that Pop-Tart until the segment was over?
Strawberry. It's so good.
Is it cold? I got all your 2-2 Atwell stuff if you want to break down what's going down in Louisville, Kentucky.
There's too many sports going on.
Way too many.
Hold on.
It's nuts.
Hold on. Just settle down. We need content. We need you to be not eating when the microphones are on.
I'm sorry.
Not talking when they're off and talking when the microphones are on.
All right.
And not eating when the microphones are on.
I got it. Strawberry Pop-Tart.
So good.
I know.
So we have this situation around here where Mike Ryan is now saying, and this is troubling as someone who is gambling on way too many of these games, Mike Ryan is saying that it's too much sports going on. Stu Gatz came in here today, and it's some of the very little evidence that we have that he's watching much of anything because he's all fired up and he's giving you detailed recaps on what happened during the game last night.
Right.
And it's like the first time in 3 months that Stu Gatz has given us anything in terms of detailed analysis on what happened the day before.
We have games that matter, but too many games that matter. Well, I this can't is keep the up thing. With all the games
this,
that matter.
This is the thing. We're in agreement on this. Billy was ahead of the curve when he said, hey, I need to tap out. There's too much. I can't keep up with it all. Now Mike has a University of Miami game that's important that's coming up, and I don't know what happened to Stu Gatz last night, but he says it was too much last night.
I mean, I've been waiting. I'm watching the Heat game. The U.S. Open's going on. Saturday is going to be difficult. You got Canes, Louisville. You got the U.S. Open. You got the Heat game. You got some of the Marlins have a big series over the weekend, and it's hard to keep up. The Islander series, the Islander game, which I forgot was on last night, is a game I've been waiting for 40 years. But because there is so much going on, I forgot it was on until the third period.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Can you be waiting for a game for 40 years and forget that it's on? I don't believe those two things are allowed to coexist.
It's not normally on right now. And now it's like the U.S. Open is on during the NFL season. I don't know what to do.
I feel bad for Stu Gatz now. 40 years you've been waiting for that game?
Like 85, the drive for five against Edmonton.
And they lost?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they lost. Yeah, they're out. The Lightning advanced to the Stanley Cup.
Sorry, man. That stinks.
Thanks.
Stanley Cup Game 1 also going up against Hurricanes, Louisville, and the Miami Heat Game 3. Man, it's too many sports.
Well, I want to talk more about the Heat, and we will over the course of the show. But for those of you who are uninitiated and not paying any attention to baseball, there are games coming up here for the Marlins that are necessary. They are playing against the last place Washington Nationals. I saw before yesterday's loss against the Boston Red Sox that the Marlins had the best probability of winning the wild card in the National League. And then they've got those games at the end of the season against the Atlanta Braves. So, Billy, there was an afternoon
you
game.
You think they're going to win the wild card? Silly Dan. They're winning the East. There's no need for the wild card. They're winning the East. Look, I've charted this whole thing out. Let me find my chart here if you guys want it.
You do this at home, too? I mean,
here we go.
They do not want to win that first wild card spot. We've been saying this for a long time. Mm-hmm. They don't want to win the wild card. Here's the way the playoffs are working this year. The wild card round, which is the extra round that they added, best of three. Then there's a best of five, then a best of seven, and a best of seven. Now, if the Marlins win the first wild card, which, again, is, well, actually, you know what? I take that back.
The chart.
They want to win the first wild card. They don't want to finish second in the East. Because if they finish second in the East, they're the five seed. And then they'd play the Padres in the best of three.
Oh, yeah,
the Padres are a monster. You know what the reward is for playing the Padres and beating the Padres?
Dodgers.
By the way, they could beat anyone in a short series. Anyone can beat anyone in a short series with their pitching.
Ask Sara. Ask him.
But then they play the Dodgers in a best of five series. If you play the Dodgers, you want to play the Dodgers in a best of three series with the pitching the Marlins have. But the Marlins are not going to fall all the way down to the eight seed. So that's out of the picture. That's not going to happen. So they need to win the East, Dan. And right now they're only three games back in the East, but they play five against the Nationals this weekend. What the Marlins need is for the Mets to take care of business against the Braves and to make that lead a little smaller. Now, the Marlins could have done themselves some favors yesterday by beating the Red Sox because the Braves were off and they would have been only two games back. But we can't cry over spilt milk, as they say, Dan. So they need to do what they do this weekend, and they need to get fat on these Nationals. And then next week, guess who the Marlins are playing?
Mm-hmm.
The Braves.
That's right.
Whoa.
The East will be possibly maybe decided in that series, because then there's still a series after that where the Marlins play the Yankees, who are still also playing for playoff contention. They're not going to win the East because the Rays already won the East, but lots of things going on right now. It's a good time to
I'm
be
more confused
fan.
Than I was.
I am as well, but this is my favorite part of my confusion, because
Marlins are playing an important series against the Nationals. Sorry, you guys can go.
What Billy needed there, okay, was a strong hype man, because one of the very annoying things that Billy always does is he gets to yammering and turning his papers over, and the point that he just made contradicts the one before that, and you stop listening and you wander off to eat a muffin because he won't stop yammering. And in the middle of that, his hype man,
The great go back to talking about the Heat.
The great teammate. I mean, they probably deserve it, but the great teammate, Chris Cody, comes to the rescue, and it is the single worst line I've ever heard from a hype man ever, where he blurts the two words without explanation, ask Fasaro. Now, there are so few people in our audience who know what you're talking about there. You would have to, where's Fasaro working right now? Is he the beat writer for USA Today? Is he the beat writer for
MLB.com?
Okay.
He's been there forever. I mean, he's a staple.
So ask Fasaro. He's a staple. What's his first name?
Joe, I think.
Is it Joe?
I know it's a J. It's either Jeff. I may be confusing him with a spot starter for the Seattle Mariners.
I think it's Joe. I don't know. Well, I'm not confident.
Chris, take me through your thought process in both and explain it to the audience who doesn't know what you're talking about. Take me through your process in supporting Billy with an ask Fasaro and then furthermore explaining to the rest of us what it means if we asked Fasaro what he would say to us. That yes, indeed, anyone can win a short series?
No, Billy said that nobody wants to see the Marlins in a short series.
Boom.
And I said, ask Fasaro, because right. Everybody knows that last week Fasaro tweeted out that some scout said nobody wants to see the Marlins in a short series because of Sixto and Sandy Alcantara.
I confuse him with Jeff Fasaro.
It is Joe.
Right. Billy.
You're so rude to Joe Fasaro. Do you not watch his seventh inning stretch videos that he puts out every game where he updates us what's been happening?
I've been missing those. Inning?
Billy, I like Joe Fasaro, and I've known him for a long time. We have a very
That's what his name was.
Yes, we have a very large audience, Billy. A very large audience that isn't watching.
Well, we're assuming everyone knows who Bam Adebayo is.
Your Marlins games and checking in on... Yes, I'm assuming
it's a fair
more.
Fair point, Bill.
Yeah, because these games are nationally televised. It's you and a dozen people paying attention to these Marlins games.
I have Magic called it the greatest block in NBA history.
I don't want any of you watching. I don't want any of you watching.
Can I watch?
You can watch. Chris can watch. That's it. That's
why
right.
I've been watching every game. I'm into it.
Jeff Fasaro. You can't watch.
I've always confused those two. Jeff Fasaro had a very good career, Billy. I don't know if you were aware of that.
They're talking about two different people. Guys. So I want to understand something, though. I really do, because...
I think you do. I think you want to criticize the Marlins because they're taking some shine away from Pat Riley, who still can't figure out how to put a mask on, and the Heat. And by the way, if anyone else was wearing their mask on upside down every single game that was Pat Riley's age, you people would be crushing him. But because it's Pat Riley, we can't say anything because he can't put his mask on the right way.
It's been bothering me so much that I've been texting people with the Heat, hey, tell Pat. I've had confirmation that they've told Pat, and now I think Pat is just an old man who's set in his ways and is doing this to mess specifically with me.
Well, now it's like formed to his face, right? Because he's been wearing it upside down so long
it's
sculpted around his nose and his chin, and it's like, can we just get the guy a new mask?
I think that Billy has what is a real envy right now of what is happening with the Miami Heat.
Would I be envious? The Marlins are playing great baseball.
Yeah, you don't sound
just
at all.
A series like, to the Red Sox.
You don't sound at all like you're defensive or envious.
This seems like it's Billy and me with the Marlins versus Mike and Dan with the Heat. Like, why can't we should all be in this together? Honestly, like, this is great for all of us.
I understand because I also feel that way, and I don't understand why because I'm so invested in the Marlins that I'm rooting for it. So I don't really know what's going on here, but. All season long, Billy's been anti-culture.
It's weird.
And when it comes to prediction time, he's picking Heat in three, and he's trying. You're playing Bo Scheich.
You picked the Celtics this series.
Why did Connery come out there?
Because that's a great line.
Playing Bo Scheich. It's obvious he's playing Bo Scheich.
It is obvious. But Billy,
hold on a second.
No, for
Mike
the love
picked
of
the
God.
Celtics this series, and last series he also picked the Heat to lose. And we know he picked the Celtics because he didn't pick the Heat. Mm-hmm. So if he thought the Heat were going to win, he would have picked the Heat.
I just bet the Celtics to win this series. The Heat are surprising even me, who's like the most ardent supporter. I was crazy. You guys were telling me how crazy I was talking about Bam Adebayo and how pissed I was that Mason Plumlee was picked over him on the national team. I told you this had an absolute opportunity. This had a chance of happening, but Look, I have respect for their opponents as a two-time reigning MVP, and I think Boston's a good team. I still think this is a long series.
But why are we butting heads? This is an exciting time in South Florida. Why can't we root for the Marlins and the Heat?
I am trying to get to the point to toss to Billy. As someone who was watching afternoon Marlins baseball with you guys, complaining about the calls of the umpires, what I was trying
to protest
these game. Umpires, don't these umpires,
it's Don Mattingly. What do you have the ability to protest the game? Protest the game, all right? They've cost you how many games already? Protest the game. If I was a manager, I would protest at least 120 games a year, and I would have the whole protest process so backed up because every time anything happened, I'd be like, you know what? And I wouldn't even tell the umpire. I'd just go up and I'd do the big P with my hand, signaling to the press box, this game is under protest because they keep robbing them. Sorry, what were we saying?
It's okay. You're emotional, and I want to talk about your Marlins. The thing I've been trying to throw to you for about 7 minutes is Pedro Martinez saying of Sixto, he's a mini-me with better stuff. Like, that's nuts. Like,
On the bump today. Let's go. It's a big one, Dan.
That is crazy. What do you mean better stuff than Pedro? Like, what the hell do you mean?
It's been like 4 starts, okay? I understand the hype. I get Pedro's doing this thing, and he kind of looks like Pedro when he throws. They've done the side-by-side. It's 4 starts, all right? I've gone down this path before, okay? I thought that the Marlins were going to have all these great pitchers that ended up being busts. I don't need to get into that.
Josh Johnson looked like an all-time great after 4 starts.
What a great first year he had.
Yeah, Josh Johnson. I mean, undone by injury, though. Josh Johnson was great.
He was.
No, Sixto is great, too, man. If he stays healthy, like, I'm so excited. Like,
I used to think Chris Volstad was going to be, like, this G pitcher, and he ended – oh, my God. And Adam Conley, who came up and threw, like, almost 2 no-hitters in, like, his first 3 starts, and I was screaming at Mattingly for taking him out every time. And what happened to him? Who even knows? They released him a couple days ago. I know what happened to him.
If you're looking for sustainability, though, that starting staff could be sustainable, and it could actually make this Derek Jeter thing right. No, you don't – Sandy's
Tommy
looking good.
Tommy John is knocking on our door. I'm telling you right now.
Tommy John's knocking on everybody's door. My fantasy team is a mess. So many pitchers are getting hurt under this circumstance.
Jose Urania was the absolute ace of this staff like a season and a half ago, and now he's like just fighting to keep the 5th spot.
What a game by him. Can you guys get him some runs, please? I mean, that guy half the time is a disaster on the mound. He finally pitches a gem, can't get any run support. Oh, I'm triggered today.
Why?
Watching that game, though, Billy, one of the things that I was marveling at, and I think Stugatz would marvel at it as well if he was consuming a lot of baseball, I'm watching Evaldi and Urania. The both of them are throwing 96, 97, way down in the zone, except for when they want to come around the eyes because they've got you down 0-2. And every pitch they're throwing felt like Kevin Brown in his prime throwing that shot put up there on the corners. And those two dudes aren't any good. Like, by the standards of major league pitchers, those guys are very average to below average in terms of earned run average. And I'm watching this game and I'm like, how does anyone hit any of this? And you say Urania needs to get some run support, but he got beat in that 6th inning by that. I don't even know who the Red Sox was that had that at bat that brought in the 2 runs. No, Billy,
that should have never happened. That was a strike 3 looking. Don't get me started. Dan, you're doing this thing on purpose. I was walking my dog when that was happening, and I was watching the game on my phone, and I was leaning up against a tree, and the bases were loaded, and he was painting the corners. He was painting the corners like Leonardo da Vinci, and he was just hitting them here, hitting them there, ball, 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 ball. You can't predict what's going to be a strike, what's going to be a ball, because the next inning, the exact same location is a strike, and this one's a ball, so he's just throwing where he can throw it to try to get the guy out, and I'm there, and I see it, and I'm like, oh, and I do a Chris Cody strike 3 punch out by myself in this dog park, and people were looking at me like I was a crazy person. That. And I did it for nothing because they called it a ball. And then the bases were loaded, and then he got another chance, and then 2 runs came in, and then the next inning, a 3-run homer, and then they couldn't come back, and they almost came back, but they couldn't.
How is Xander Bogaerts only 27? I feel like my dad took me to the ballpark to watch Xander Bogaerts.
Why are you so angry, Billy? It seems like Dan's trying to support you.
I think he knows exactly the buttons he's pushing today.
I am trying to support you. Look, Billy, all I was trying to do, if people listen back to this hour, what they will hear is Billy totally sitting out all of the Heat enthusiasm, all of it. Like, you didn't say,
anything. He said the NBA is trying to cheat the Heat, and you said, nope, let's talk to Mike about the Boston radio calls when I was trying to unearth this investigation that I have going on and bring it out.
You were rattled. You were all over the place.
You're on the payroll, and Adam Silver has you in his pocket, and you don't want the world to know the truth.
I did indeed hear you trying to lead us down the path of the leak. I did violently grab the steering wheel from you there because I didn't want to have the conversation longer than it already was about the league trying to screw the 10-1 Miami Heat.
It's clear as day, Dan. Open your eyes.
This is what I want you to put on the poll, though, at Lebatard Show, and I want you to put your name on it so everyone can see it. Can you ever compare Ureña to Leonardo da Vinci at Lebatard Show?
When he's painting corners.
Did you know Xander Bogaerts was 27?